Well, I know some of you here today have been involved with scouting. And if you've been involved in the Scouts, Boy Scouts in particular, you might have been mom, you might have been dad, you might have also been a part of the scouting or had a family member who was. You know that the motto is, be prepared. And if I had to sum up today's Holy Gospel, the reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, I'd have to say that be prepared would be a perfect fit. What has been labeled by many the parable of the 10 virgins could also be called the parable of the 5 wise bridesmaids or the 5 foolish bridesmaids. It depends on how you look at the glass. Is the glass half empty? Is the glass half full? Or are you just grateful that you have a glass? Titles aside, what matters most is being ready, being prepared, being wise, thinking ahead, realizing that a crisis is coming sooner or later, and that if you don't make preparations now and keep them in good shape in the meantime, you're going to wish you had. We know that hurricane season is from June to December, right? How many of us have a kit prepared just in case, with food, with water, in preparation? I know those who live in Florida are more so to do that. We're pretty protected inland, but it can still get nasty. But it's part of being prepared. I believe it's very important for us to, in today's Holy Gospel, to examine the roots of this parable. Deep in the Jewish context, that has alerted thousands to be aware of the coming of the bridegroom. In Jewish background, very simply put, is that when someone is betrothed, as Mary and Joseph were, when the time comes, the one who calls the shots on the wedding is the father of the bridegroom. Because the bridegroom has prepared a place in his father's house for them to live. And only when it's ready, to the satisfaction of the father of the bridegroom, he tells the bridegroom, go get it. And everybody has to be ready to act. So Jesus is the bridegroom. And he has gone, as he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be. And he has called the church, the fellowship of believers, the bride. And there will be a time when he will come, as Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians, when he will come in power and great glory, and a trumpet blast will alert us that he's coming. Nobody, as Jesus said, knows the hour or the day. Now, Jesus has already referred to himself as the bridegroom, and in response to a question from John the Baptist's followers. This took place in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Their question was, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of a bridegroom mourn while he's with them? Time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. In another parable in Matthew chapter 22, verse 2, Jesus spoke of the kingdom as being like a king making a marriage feast for his son. Just the mention of a bridegroom hints at Jesus being the Messiah. Now remember, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus has already triumphantly entered into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. So this is just days away from him being arrested, being beaten unmercifully, and being nailed to a cross, the crucifixion. Jesus, being the Messiah, was at the forefront of those days ever since he arrived in Jerusalem, and they were out to get him. This highlights the fact that this parable isn't just about the end of time, the great and terrible day for which the world and the church still wait. Throughout his entire 3-year ministry, Jesus was coming as Messiah to his people, the people of Israel. They were the ones who were invited to the wedding feast. The people are divided in this parable between the wise who know Jesus and make sure that they're alert for his coming, and the foolish who, as Jesus illustrates, will say in this parable, "Open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you." Just as the Sermon on the Mount summarizes Jesus' challenge to the people of Israel and to the whole world, he's challenging the world to be prepared and to not delay. What Jesus did was unique and decisive, changing forever the way the world is and how God relates to it. And that we need to be alert and be aware that the time is coming, and we can't be tied up in excuses and hoping that our friends will help to provide for us, like the bridesmaids who were expecting the five wise ones to share their oil. Let's face it, it's easy for us to ignore the warning and to stop paying attention to God's work and its demands and to be unprepared for the moment when it arrives. I want to suggest to you today, right now, that we need to have a care plan. Many of us have things that we need to do each and every morning before we go out and face the world. It might be taking care of medications that you need to take. Some need to test their blood sugar. Some need to test their cholesterol, recording the results and maybe acting on those results, taking another medication. For some, it's not optional, and there can be no excuses made for not doing these things. It's not when and if we feel like it. For others, there's a need to prepare for the day in other ways. A certain kind of clothes, grooming, shaving, hair care, makeup. You wouldn't think of heading out the door without taking care of those details. Once again, these things are not optional, and there's no room for excuses. And it's not when and if we feel like it. It could be said that you need to take extreme ownership of those things, and rightly so. We need to be prepared. And now let's get down to the heart of what Jesus was talking about in today's Holy Gospel. Your spiritual care plan. In order for us to be spiritually healthy and to grow spiritually, each one of us needs to be reading Holy Scripture daily. That doesn't mean you need to read a chapter a day, but read your Bible daily. And like with the examples that I just gave you about the physical, this needs to be done for your own good. And not when and if you feel like it. Again, there should be no room for excuses. We need to be prepared. Oh, wait, there's still more. We should be in church every Sunday, in community with fellow believers, receiving the Word of God and the spiritual food, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to enrich us and nourish us for the coming week so that we can be able to deal with the stuff that'll be coming us in each of the days of the week. Once again, it should not be when we feel like it, making a list of excuses where I should be instead. Each of us needs to take extreme ownership of this. We need to be prepared. And please, don't get me wrong, none of us are faultless in our spiritual care plans. But if the doctor were to tell you that you needed to do certain things to enjoy the rest of your life in a healthy and safe manner, and that it was non-negotiable, what would your response be? Would it be, "I want to get a second opinion"? Well, that can be a good thing, as I learned. But it shouldn't be our original knee-jerk reaction when you know that you know that you know you're supposed to be doing something. Or would it be, "I don't need that"? Or would it be, "I have to admit, I need to do this. And I will need love and support to get it done. Each and every day. And each and every Sunday." I want to suggest to you that Jesus has given each one of us his diagnosis and his prescription to be prepared for each and every day and for the day that he comes again. My friends, there should be no room for excuses. We need to be prepared. For as Jesus said, you do not know the day or the hour.